We're all a little cold. I was like dancing back there, kind of like I had to go to the bathroom. Like just trying to get warm. I'm like, if somebody walks in right now, they're going to think I have to use the bathroom so bad. I really don't. I'm just cold. But thinking about winter's here in Florida. It's here. Next couple of weeks are going to be brutal. So just hold on tight and we'll make it through it together. But really thinking about winter being here for us, that reminds me the Winter Olympics are getting ready to start. They start this week, this Friday, the Winter Olympics start. How many of you are big fans of Winter Olympics? We got any big Winter Olympics fans? Okay, we have some in here. So when you think about the Winter Olympics, what is your favorite Winter Olympic sport that you look forward to more than all the others? What? Okay, downhill skiing. What else?
Ice skating.
Okay, we got the ice skating. I used to watch ice skating with my mom, the figure skating all the time. Back 20 years ago, I could tell you all the figure skaters because I watched it with my mom all the time. Now I don't have a clue because I'm not forced to watch it. Any other Winter Olympic sports that you say, man, I like, this is the sport. Yes. Snowboarding. Awesome. Yes. The bobsled. Yes, and Jamaica has a bobsled team. You guys seen Cool Runnings from like 20-some years ago? First time in decade or so, Jamaica has a bobsled team. They actually think they have three different bobsled events they're going to be running. So that's one of those. Yes, sir. Curling. Okay, so we got some curlers in here. That seems really boring. I don't know.
It is.
It is. Out of all of the Winter Olympic events, snowboarding is the one that I really enjoy. Sean White is a snowboarder. He's won 3 gold medals. He's the most decorated snowboarder in history. And he won his first gold medal when he was just a teenager, maybe like 19 or something like that. And they call him the Flying Tomato because he has bright red hair. And so when he goes down the half pipe and all that and does all the tricks and whatever and is flying through the air, they call him the Flying Tomato because of that. But he's getting ready to go for his fourth gold medal. He's got 3, so he thinks this is going to be his last Olympics, his last shot. So he's going to try to go for that 4th gold medal. But when you think about these athletes like that, they made their way to Tokyo, but they've been planning for this event for a long time. They didn't just wake up this past week and decide, you know what, I think I want to go to the Olympics. No, they've been working their whole lives for this moment that's getting ready to take place. And they've sacrificed a lot to get to where they're at. And Jesus has some things to share with us about what it means to sacrifice as well. And that brings us to our portion of scripture this morning out of Luke chapter number 14. Luke chapter 14. I encourage you to pull out your Bible, whether you have your paper copy or you have it on your phone. We will throw some of the verses up on the screen there so you can see it for yourself. We believe every person ought to see the word of God for themselves. And so we're in Luke chapter number 14, and we're finishing up our all-in series today, and we're going to be moving on to our connected series next week. But we've been talking about what it means to be a true disciple of Jesus. And in Luke chapter number 14, we're going to pick up in verse number 31. It says this: "Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend together, Lord, looking into your word. And we do pray that you would challenge each of our hearts this morning. And God, there may be some here in person, some who are watching online, they've never trusted Jesus to be their Savior. Maybe they're questioning. Maybe they're searching. Maybe, God, you're doing something in their heart. And I pray that today would be the day that they would trust Jesus as the way of salvation and be born again today. And then, God, we have some Christians who, yeah, maybe they've trusted Jesus to be their Savior, but they've not really decided to go all in for Jesus. They've not really committed their lives to being His follower and being His disciple. And God, I pray that this series would help each of us to evaluate the cost. And that we would understand that it's totally worth it. That whatever Jesus asks us to do, whatever it is that He asked us to sacrifice, whatever the price, it is totally worth it in the end. And that God, we would be a group of believers who are not just playing church, but we are all in for our Savior who went all in for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we've been going through this series here, and in verse number 31, it says, "Or what king?" And so, talking about here, going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. Now, this is the second illustration that Jesus used to help us to contemplate the cost of following Jesus. Because truly being a disciple of Jesus will cost you something. A lot of churches won't tell you that. Why? Because they're afraid if there is a requirement, they're afraid if there's some accountability, people won't come to church and people won't listen. And almost like that telephone company that says, "Hey, I'm going to give you a free phone, asterisk." We kind of fool people into thinking that, hey, you just show up to church every week and God is just going to pour out all these blessings upon you, when that's not really what following Jesus is all about. Jesus himself gave us these illustrations because he wants me to contemplate whether or not we're willing to pay the price to be his disciple. We're not talking about salvation here. If you've trusted Jesus as your Savior, that is as a free gift he gives you. That's something totally different than deciding, I want to be a disciple of Jesus. That I'm going to go all in for Jesus. Now, a lot of times those things happen, boom, boom, and Jesus saves us and we're ready to go all in. Some people, because of their background or whatever, they trust Jesus to be their Savior, and then it takes a little bit to understand that there needs to be some changes that need to take place. There's some commitment here. And so we talked about the fact that Jesus already gave us an illustration about, hey, if you're going to build a tower, you first sit down and figure out if you have what it takes to complete it. Do I have the materials? Do I have the workers? And all this kind of stuff to make sure we complete it. Otherwise, we'd be like that eyesore on I-4, right? Where it just sits there for 20 plus years, unfinished. And so here's another illustration where Jesus says, count the cost. He says, hey, if you are a king, so let's all think about it today. Now he's saying if. He's not saying you are a king. Some of us need to get down off our thrones and understand that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Okay, this is an illustration. So think about it for a second here. He says, hey, if you are a king, all right, so let's figure this out. Let's put ourselves in Jesus' words here. If you're a king and you're getting ready to go to war, and you know this other king that you're going to fight is coming with 20,000 soldiers, you know you only have 10. I got 10,000, they have 20,000. I'm going to sit down and figure out, okay, with the battle plan, with where we are, where we're going to be fighting, with the soldiers that I have, is 10,000 enough to conquer the 20,000? It may or may not be in the illustration. But he says, if you come to the conclusion, my 10,000 cannot beat their 20,000, I've counted the cost. I need to send a delegation, and I need to work out some peaceful situation so that we're not completely wiped out. But he's telling them once again, you need to count the cost. Because Jesus is not trying to fool you. He's not trying to trick me. Listen, we're not trying to trick you into being part of Beachside. We're not trying to trick you into becoming a Christian or anything else. Jesus never did that, and we should not do that either. He says, count the cost, because being my disciple is going to cost you something. And we've already looked at verse number 26. Jesus gave us three things it's going to cost us. He says in verse 26, it's going to cost you your family. It's going to cost you your relationships. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. So he says, first of all, it's going to cost you your closest relationships. Family is typically the closest relationships. So he uses that as an illustration. It's going to cost you. And we have mentioned already, it's been a couple weeks, but we've mentioned already that word hate doesn't mean, he's not trying to say you need to hate people. There's too many Christians that hate people. Jesus tells us we're to love our neighbor as ourself. He tells us we're to love our enemies, to do good to those who would not do good to you. So we know Jesus will not contradict himself when he's already told us we're to love all people. So why the word hate? And it is the word hate. Well, he's using it to grab attention and make a comparison. He says, listen, if you're really going to be my disciple, you have to love me so much more than you love anybody else. So I think about my own relationship. I'm married. I have four daughters. I am to love Jesus so much more than I love my wife, than I love my daughters, than I love my dog Coconut. Supposed to love him so much more that if you compare the two, it appears like I love Jesus so much greater than I love my wife that it appears as hate. He says, hey, you've got to decide that in your relationships, I'm going to come first. That's what Jesus is saying. And some of us, that is the cost that we need to count today. And some of us in here, yeah, we trusted Jesus as our Savior, but we've never gotten to the place where we're willing to pay the price and willing to say, hey, Jesus, I love you more than I love anybody else. Because some of us in here, we love our kids more than we love Jesus, and that's a problem. You cannot be a disciple of Jesus and live that way. Some of us in here love our spouse more than we love Jesus. That shouldn't happen. Some of us in here, we got some friendships and we got whatever else. Some of us in here do love our pets more than we love Jesus. And Jesus says, listen, you can't be a follower of mine if I'm not the one you love more than anybody else. He continues on in verse number 27. We looked at this 2 weeks ago. It says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. And remember, that word cross is the idea of death. You knew one thing when you saw somebody carrying a cross, is they were not coming back alive. They were going to be carried back dead. And notice he says, you got to bear your own cross. We're not bearing Jesus' cross. Jesus bore his own cross, and he paid the price that we could have eternal life. And if you've never trusted Jesus to be your Savior, that is the price for your salvation. And he is the only one that can save you. Beachside cannot save you. Going out in that ocean and getting wet cannot save you. Giving money later on in our offering time cannot save you. Jesus is the only one who can save you. So he bore his cross. Now he says, hey, if you want to be a follower of mine, you got to bear your own cross. And that means dying to yourself. that you are no longer are the master of your own destiny. You no longer are the king on the throne of your life. That you are dead to yourself. You are dead to your plans, your goals, your dreams, and that your life is all about Jesus now. And Paul writes a beautiful illustration of that in Romans chapter number 6, where he says, hey, we're dead and buried, and we're raised to walk in newness of life, that our life is all about Jesus now. And he says, hey, you can have your life be about you all you want to, but you cannot be my disciple if that's the way you want to live your life. So if you really want to follow me, you need to count the cost. That you have to die to yourself. Once again, he's not forcing you to be his disciple. He's not forcing you to take up that cross daily and follow him. But he does say that is the requirement if you really want to follow me. So he lets us know the cost up front. You still have to make the choice. I still have to make the choice. And we spent some time looking at those first two costs. We're going to look at the third here in Luke 14, verse number 33. We read the verse just a moment ago. Let's read it again. So remember the illustration about counting the cost. He says, so therefore, any one of you who does not renounce, what's the next word? All. If you don't renounce all that you have, cannot be my disciple. Now, how many of you are glad to be in America? All right, good. Every hand should go up. If your hand's not going up, there's a lot of places in the world you can go. America has some problems. I'm not ignorant to the problems that our country has. This is still the greatest country in the world. This is still the freest country in the world. And man, we are so blessed to be here. There are people, there are billions of people all over this world that would love to sit where you're sitting this morning. So we are so blessed, but a lot of times that blessing is a curse. Because America has been so blessed for so long. You understand, you're richer than most of the people who have ever lived on this planet. I'm not just talking about the people who are alive right now. I'm talking that have ever lived. You are richer than most of the people that have ever existed. We have so much. So much. But because of that, what's happened, we worship stuff. We worship stuff. Like, we lift up and exalt stuff in our life. We're going to talk in a few weeks, at the end of February, we're going to start a new series called Uncharted, and we're going to talk about evaluating where our treasure is, whether it's here on earth or whether it's in heaven. But we just worship stuff. We worship houses, we worship cars, we worship jobs, we worship money, we worship all this stuff. And Jesus tells us, listen, I'm not forcing you to do anything. But I want you to understand, if you want to be a follower of mine, you're going to have to make some hard choices in your life. You're going to have to decide, do you love me more than you love your relationships? Do you love me more than you love yourself? Do you love me more than you love your stuff? And that's a hard decision for some of us to make. Because we have been so blessed. And we need to be willing to pay the price. So we talked about the Winter Olympics. Talked about these athletes. And I want you to think for just a second, thinking about sacrifice. What are some specific things that one of these Olympians might sacrifice in order to get where they are? For instance, I'll give you a first one. They might sacrifice sleep. So instead of sleeping in, they're going to get up early and they're going to go train somewhere. What are some other things that you can think of that these Olympic athletes might sacrifice to get where they are today? Anybody have any ideas? Social life? Yeah? Free time? Okay, yes? Yeah, right, food. Yeah, you can't just eat whatever you want. Now, curling, you can probably eat whatever you want. So, some food. Somebody else? Right, being away from your family. So, some of that family time.
Comfort.
Yeah. Okay, education, right? Some of these people, they just, their whole life has been about a certain sport. And, all right, maybe church, yeah. A lot of times you don't have time for church and all those sorts of things. So they sacrifice because they know what it is they want to accomplish. Shaun White sacrifices because he knows, I want to be the most decorated snowboarder in history. So whatever the cost, I'm willing to sacrifice because that's what I want to become and that's what I want to accomplish. And this is where counting the cost comes in when it comes to following Jesus. Because we're going to have to decide, do I really want to make the sacrifice? Do I really want to sacrifice some family relationships so that I can follow Jesus? Because Jesus might ask you to move away from family. Now, it's a lot easier to stay close to family and friends at a distance than it ever has been. But talking on the phone, even if you could see them, that's not the same as being face to face. That's why we encourage people who are watching our live stream. We're so glad for our live stream. But it ain't the same as being in the room with people. So there's been people, okay, my wife, my daughters have had to sacrifice family to do what God has called them to do. Might have to make some of those sacrifices. We might have to sacrifice our goals, our dreams, our plans. He says you got to choose. He might ask you to sacrifice your stuff. It might mean changing a job. It might mean giving sacrificially. It might mean a lot of different things. Opening up your home. I think about our group leaders who are opening up their home to church people so they can have people in and make connections and help people grow in their faith. When you open up your home to people, you know what happens? Things get dirty. Things get broke. We get inconvenienced. There's cleanup and setup and preparation, all this stuff. There's a sacrifice involved there. Some of us need to figure out, are we willing to pay the price? Those athletes, they're willing to pay the price. It's worth it to them. It's worth it so they can stand up and wear the gold medals and all this stuff and decide, this is what I wanted. And as Paul said, it's so sad because they do it for a corruptible crown. As we do it for an incorruptible crown. Is there a high cost for following Jesus? You better believe there is. But it's totally worth it. In eternity, you'll never look back and say, you know what? I wish I never gave that much to that church. It wasn't worth it. You won't be in eternity saying, you know what? I wish I would have not sacrificed so much time with family so I could follow Jesus. You'll never say that. But quite to the contrary, there's a lot of people in eternity saying, man, I wish I would have gave more. I wish I would have sacrificed more. I wish I would have been more committed to my Savior. See, this is the moment right now. How many of you have seen Goonies? Have you seen Goonies? The old Goonies movie? Yes? Did you really? He watched it yesterday. That's my man right there. Bobby, my man. On a road trip out to the Pacific Northwest this past June, we actually went to the Goonie house. It was awesome. One of the highlights of my life, maybe number two, right behind trusting Jesus as my Savior, going to the Goonie's house. There's a part in the movie where the kids, they're down in the well, remember? Down in the well. Troy sends down the bucket, and they're all excited because they want to get out of there. And then you have Mikey make that speech. Says, hey, it's their time up there. It's our time down here. This is your time to invest in Jesus. This is your time to invest in relationships. It will be worth it. Is it hard to sacrifice for Jesus? You better believe it is. Is it hard to give sometimes? You better believe it is. But it will be worth it every single time. You will never say, in the end, you'll never say, I did too much, I gave too much, I sacrificed too much. Never say that. Because he's watching, he sees everything that happens. But he does want you to know the cost up front. And you know, there's a passage of scripture in Matthew chapter 19. I don't have it on the screen, but I want to read it to you. Just two verses. Jesus is having a conversation with this rich man who asks some questions. And Jesus says to him in Matthew 19:21, if you would be perfect, go sell what you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. He's saying, hey, you go ahead, come on, follow me. Be my disciple. That's what he's saying. He says, first you need to go sell your stuff, give it to the poor, then come follow me. Here's the response of the young man, verse 22. When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Jesus said, hey, I want you to follow me, but listen, it's going to cost you. Go sell your stuff, give it to the poor, then you can come follow me and be my disciple. Because remember, Jesus said, you want to follow me? Like, we're not playing games here. I don't even have a place to lay my head at night. It's the cost. But he wasn't trying to trick this young man. He didn't say, hey, come follow me. And then once he started following him, saying, hey, now you got to get rid of this. No. He let him know the cost up front. This is what it's going to cost you. But you know what? This young man loved his stuff more than he loved following Jesus. And some of us love our stuff more than we love following Jesus. Some of us love this more than we love following Jesus. Or maybe we love what's in this, or what we hope should be in this, more than we love following Jesus. Jesus said, if you aren't willing to renounce all that you have, you cannot be my disciple. No different than these athletes. If they're not willing to sacrifice everything to become the greatest, they will never become the greatest. They'll never win that gold. Why? Because they're not willing to make the sacrifice. And Jesus says, if you're not willing to pay the price, then you cannot be my disciple. Not that your sins aren't forgiven, not that you won't be in heaven. Discipleship and salvation are two very different things. He says, you cannot be my disciple. So what about you today? Have you counted the cost? Are you willing to give up absolutely everything to follow Jesus? Now, he doesn't always say, go sell everything that you have and give it away. He doesn't always do that. He doesn't always ask you to move across the country or across the world away from family and friends and everything else. He might. He doesn't always. The point is, what does your heart say? In my heart, am I willing to give it all? In my heart, am I willing to sacrifice everything? And as you can say yes, and you have your heart meaning something different. The difference is he knows what's in our heart. And so he tells them here in Luke 14, verse 31, or what king going out to encounter another king in war will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks terms of peace. So therefore, any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. Being a Christian has a cost. Let's show this world what it truly means to be a Christian. It means that we will die to ourselves and put Jesus first in our lives. It means sacrificing everything, giving everything to follow Jesus. Let's do that today.